Well, good morning and welcome into the Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host and the driver of the crazy bus that is this podcast. And I hope you are having, so far, a wondrous day. It is going to be an interesting day today, especially if you were a news junkie. Because today, this morning, creepy Joe Biden declared his candidacy as a Democrat running for the office of the United States President. You know what? We saw this coming. We knew it was going to happen. His peeps actually said the other day, yeah, probably going to happen Wednesday, maybe Thursday. So we've been waiting and watching to see when creepy Uncle Joe would join the rest of the clowns in the Democrat clown car. So that makes 21 now. 21 people running for president. 21. Holy cow, people. That's a lot of candidates running for president. It's going to be interesting to watch how this all plays out, considering that creepy Uncle Joe is, well, creepy Uncle Joe. And we'll look at that today. And I have to give you a disclaimer right up front. That's probably just about all we're going to look at today, because there is a plethora. Hefe, what is a plethora? There is a plethora of stories about creepy Uncle Joe throwing his hat into the ring and accidentally blinding three small children. It is going to be an interesting day. And I guess we need to start by actually listening to Joe Biden's announcement, which was released to YouTube this morning.
Charlottesville, Virginia is home to the author of one of the great documents in human history. We know it by heart. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We've heard it so often, it's almost a cliche, but it's who we are. We haven't always lived up to these ideals. Jefferson himself didn't, but we have never before walked away from them. Charlottesville is also home to a defining moment for this nation in the last few years. It was there on August of 2017 we saw Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis come out in the open. Their crazed faces, illuminated by torches, veins bulging and bearing the fangs of racism, chanting the same anti-Semitic bile heard across Europe in the 30s. And they were met by a courageous group of Americans, and a violent clash ensued. And a brave young woman lost her life. And that's when we heard the words of the President of the United States that stunned the world and shocked the conscience of this nation. He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides? With those words, the President of the United States assigned a moral equivalence between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it. And in that moment, I knew the threat to this nation was unlike any I had ever seen in my lifetime. I wrote at the time that we're in the battle for the soul of this nation. Oh, that's even more true today. We are in the battle for the soul of this nation. I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and all he embraces as an aberrant moment in time. But if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are, and I cannot stand by and watch that happen. The core values of this nation, our standing in the world, our very democracy, everything that has made America, America is at stake. That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. Folks, America's an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant. It gives hope to the most desperate people on earth. It guarantees that everyone is treated with dignity and gives hate no safe harbor. It instills in every person in this country the belief that no matter where you start in life, there's nothing you can't achieve if you work at it. That's what we believe. And above all else, that's what's at stake in this election. We can't forget what happened in Charlottesville. Even more important, we have to remember who we are. This is America.
Wow. Dramatic, overproduced, and a pack of lies and misdirection. That is the Biden candidacy announcement. And wow. Just wow. There's so much about this announcement that is just wrong. Completely wrong. And this morning, I bumped across an article by from the folks at Chicks on the Right. If you're not familiar with these two ladies, you really need to get to know them, because they are entertaining, they're enlightening, they're informative, they're funny as all get out. And when they get ticked off about something, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. So look them up. They're called Chicks on the Right. And Macarena, she's the co-founder, posted this to social media this morning. Is it just me? Or is this the creepiest campaign announcement video ever? I mean, the music right at the very beginning sounds like what you hear in a horror flick. I get why he's using Charlottesville as his "I'm gonna pull emotions out of you" shtick, but he called Antifa courageous, y'all. That is literally every shade of effed up. And people with actual brains know this. It takes half a second to Google story upon story of Antifa being violent thugs to know that courage isn't the proper word to describe that group of misfits. Not to mention the nonsense he pulls with the Trump quote about fine people on both sides. How many times does that have to be contextualized before people like Joe Biden finally understand that it's all complete BS, that it doesn't do justice to what Trump's message was, and that politicizing Charlottesville is just a disgusting thing to do? The most telling thing about Joe's candidacy for everyone should be that Barack Obama isn't endorsing him. Granted, so far it appears that Obama won't endorse anyone specific in the primaries, but the fact that Joe was his VP for 8 years should mean that an endorsement is a given. That it's not should give Democrats serious pause. Also, have we mentioned that Joe and Bernie are old? This is coming, then she refers a quote from someone's column. It says, "For those who respond, well, what about Trump? Remember, if the president serves 2 terms, he'll leave the White House at 78, the oldest ever in office. But that's the age Biden would begin his presidency. And Sanders is a year older. This is going to be the most fascinating primary season to watch in the history of ever. Biden, who is for all intents and purposes a centrist, mostly because he doesn't really stand for anything and only ever takes a position on something when he finds it politically expedient to do so, will really struggle to capture the Bernie crowd, who are rabidly progressive and have no tolerance for anyone who is remotely to the right of, say, Ilhan Omar. But Bernie, or the other progressive weirdos running, will struggle capturing middle America in a general election. Joe Biden has lots of skeletons rattling in that closet, from calling Obama clean and articulate to denigrating Indian Americans by saying you can't go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts without a slight Indian accent, to not knowing how to spell job, to plagiarizing, to smelling unsuspecting women's hair, but sure, use out-of-context quotes of Trump to make your case for why you should be President Joe. Great plan! Buckle up, y'all. It's going to be a gloriously bumpy ride. And Mac is absolutely right about this. She's absolutely right. Joe Biden is a weirdo. He is a walking gaffe machine. It has already been said, it was Rush Limbaugh that said it, that Biden won't make it. He just won't make it. He will gaffe himself out of the presidential race. And he may be absolutely right about that, because I would be willing to bet good money that there will be people on his campaign staff whose sole responsibility, you know, that old gag about you have one job, get it right. You know, and you've seen all the things that they had one job and they got it wrong. You've seen those things online, right? There will be people whose one job will be to keep Joe Biden from being Joe Biden. There will be people on his campaign staff who will, one, keep him on script. That will be their responsibility. There will be people whose entire job is to keep Joe Biden on script. Because if he starts, improvising, if he starts being Joe, he's toast. Because I've got an article with a bunch of gaffes that we're going to get to here in a few minutes. But if he becomes himself on the campaign trail and does any of the things that he has done in the past, well, God love him. He's done for. And there will be people on his campaign staff whose entire responsibility is to keep Joe from touching anyone with more than a handshake. Yep. Because he now has a reputation. People are aware that during this time of the Me Too movement, Uncle Joe is not a really Me Too kind of guy. He likes touching people. He likes smelling women's hair. Jeff Sessions actually scooted his daughter away from Uncle Joe when Uncle Joe reached out for her. I mean, this guy, if he touches people, we're going to hear more stories. So there are going to be at least two people on Joe Biden's campaign staff whose entire responsibility will be to, A, keep him on script and to keep him from improvising, and B, to keep him from touching anyone in any way other than a handshake. And just between you and me, I don't envy either one of those people because they've been given impossible jobs. They've been given jobs they will never, ever be able to fulfill because Uncle Joe, creepy Uncle Joe, is just he is rightfully in the clown car with the rest of these candidates because he is a clown. Now, let's talk about Charlottesville for a minute. I've got just a couple of minutes before the break, just a little less than a couple of minutes. And the whole thing about basing his campaign announcement around Charlottesville, he actually wanted to do it. He wanted to do it live in Charlottesville. Then he wanted to go to Philadelphia Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and do a big deal. Oddly enough, the people in Philadelphia, when they were contacted, said, "What? Where? When?" They had no idea. He's just blowing off again like he always does. At any rate, Charlottesville, you had Nazis. Look up how many Nazis there are in the United States. You had Nazis who showed up to get attention. And then you had Antifa who showed up, who can't communicate verbally on a rational level. They always break down to physical violence. So you had these two groups of idiots get into a fight at an event that was organized by someone who not long before had been an Obama supporter. So the entire event that happened at Charlottesville was highly suspicious. The whole thing looks like, to rational, reasonable, honest people, it looks like it was set up to produce a violent conflict and to hurt people. It looks like that was the intent. And as a result, the left was able to take comments out of context made by Donald Trump for people like creepy Joe Biden to use against him in a campaign. And that's what we have today. Creepy Uncle Joe is the latest clown in the clown car for the Democrats. And creepy Uncle Joe is going to work at least two people to death trying to keep him from being creepy Uncle Joe on the campaign trail. This is going to be an entertaining campaign. It really is. And we'll have more about creepy Uncle Joe and the rest of the insanity coming up after the break on this Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. Oh, my goodness. Pass the coffee, please. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. And little old me, your sometimes humble host, Mark Congleton, having a little too much fun today. Oh, my gosh. Creepy Uncle Joe. Thanks a lot for being there today. I kind of casually blew by it because, come on, at the top of the show. But I appreciate you being there. Those of you who are on Facebook Live this morning, hi, how are you? Good to have you along. Good to see you guys there. Also, to those of you who are listening to the podcast version of the program at a later time, it is good to have you there. Thanks a lot for subscribing to the podcast and having it delivered directly to your inbox. And that's something you can do, by the way. If you can just search the Daily Perspective in iTunes and in Google Podcast, and it will come up. You can subscribe, and every day, usually usually somewhere around, usually between 9 and 10 Central, or 10 and 11 Eastern, you will have it delivered right to your inbox, or not to your inbox, but to your podcast app on your mobile device. And you get to listen to the program, excluding the breaks. What I do right after the show is I make sure everything in the newsletter, which I'll talk about later, the newsletter is all correct. And then I'll get the podcast in order, and I go through the entire recording and trim out all of the little PSA announcements and everything. So what you get is just the content and the music bumping either side of the break. So that's one of the treats you get as a podcast subscriber. And to be fair, I'll tell you this right up front. If you are a subscriber or you're considering subscribing, there will come a point, hopefully in the near future, where there will be someone sponsoring the podcast. So you will get their thing. If you listen to Mike Rowe's podcast, the way I heard it, which, by the way, if you don't listen to Mike Rowe's The Way I Heard It podcast, please subscribe to it. It's amazing. It's a weekly podcast. It doesn't come to you every day. It's a 5-minute. He says it's 5 minutes. It's longer than that because he loves to ramble on the front and the back, but he tells a 5-minute story every week about someone or something you know about, but you don't know what he's talking about until he gets to the last minute or so, because he tells a story about this person that you've never heard, or a story about this particular place or a thing. And he's done a couple of them that just had me pounding on my steering wheel in the car. You've got to be kidding me. That's Gene Simmons, you know, of Kiss and the like. It's just amazing stuff. So if you don't subscribe to his podcast, please do. If you do, you know how he handles his advertiser, his sponsor. And that is much the way it will be handled here. So just understand that. But there will come a commercial sponsor at some point. All right. Okay. Now, but subscribe today. Either too much caffeine or not enough. But subscribe today. Go to markcongleton.com and get signed up. It's easy to do. It's very easy to do. Go to iTunes or Google Podcast and get signed up. It's easy to do. Just do it. Just do it, because you'll be glad you did, okay? All right, let's see. What am I missing here? I was looking for something, and that's odd. All right, let me back out of this. I'm looking at my switcher program, and I need to move over to that. There we go. I just realized that those of you who are watching the Facebook Live, you just got this black screen with the name of the podcast on it, and that's not what I wanted you to see. There was something else. And I had something else up that has a background, the background was gone. Anyway, let's move forward. We're talking about creepy Uncle Joe. And we've already established that his announcement video was creepy, overproduced, and filled with misdirection and lies. That's politics. And I was going to make the observation before that he really does have the politician look. He has that campaigning presidential politician look about him. He's got the tight haircut. He's got the steely eyes. He's got the white teeth. He's got the look. He does have that I'm running for president look. And it kind of fits the mold of what you would expect for a politician. And I think over the last couple of years, we have learned that this is the last thing we want for our country, because everything that is wrong with our country has been created by people like Joe Biden. So please don't fall for the presidential look, and don't fall for the rhetoric, because Joe is a member of the group that did everything to our country we're trying to correct right now. It was Joe and his cohorts, Barack Hussein Obama and that administration, who for 8 years worked on fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And as I have told you many, 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 many times, you do not transform something you love. You redeem it and you restore it. You transform something you dislike. If you buy a house and you think the bones are right, but you don't like it the way it's designed inside, or the way it's been handled on the inside or even the outside, you transform it. You renovate it. You remodel it. And that is what they were trying to do for the past 8 years. They were trying to remodel the United States of America and make it something different. You don't do that to something you love. If you buy a house, a house, and you love the era, you love the design, you love everything about it, you go into restoration mode, not into transformation mode. Joe Biden and everybody he's associated with were transformers, not restorers. We cannot afford to have people like that in the presidency again. We can't afford to have those people in our Congress. And heaven forbid we have them on the Supreme Court. So when it comes time to vote, remember, we need restorers, not transformers. Now, former President, Vice President Joe Biden, he is known for speaking to people, telling them things. And the things he says sometimes are just head scratchers. He has reportedly told donors that world leaders were calling him and begging for him to enter the 2020 presidential field in order to, quote, save the world, end quote, from another term under President Donald Trump. Quote, I get calls from people all over the world. World leaders are calling me, and they're almost begging me to do this, to save the country, save the world. He said this on a call to donors, according to Politico. Biden is expected, well, he announced his bid on a video this morning. He, today, will probably automatically become the front runner. Most polls show him as the first choice of Democrats, with Bernie Sanders in a close second. South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg has, by the way, when I first saw this name, I struggled with it. It's Buttigieg. Buttigieg has seen a surge that places him in a command of third place. Buttigieg is an interesting thing as well. He has bumped Beto O'Rourke into non-existence, basically. Biden was reportedly encouraging supporters and donors to give him a boost in donations to help his impending campaign. Quote, the money's important. We're going to be judged by what we can do in the first 24 hours, the first week. So today, And from today until next Thursday, they're going to look at how things look. Keep in mind now, he's going to raise a lot of money. But right now, Donald Trump has more in his campaign coffers than all of the Democrat candidates combined. Just remember that. Don't let the news articles, don't let the pundits on TV, don't let these people deceive you. Donald Trump is not as unpopular as they tell you he is. Remember, the same pollsters who told you Hillary Clinton was a lock for the presidency are telling you that Donald Trump is in trouble. Despite not announcing his campaign yet, Biden's already seen some setbacks, including accusations of inappropriate touching by several women. Now, actually, he has announced this morning, but he is not a friend to the Me Too movement. And he just sort of, okay, fine, whatever. You know, the times and people have changed, you know, morals have changed, whatever. I'll try to adjust. That was kind of his excuse for the whole thing about touching women. These people who have come forward, very uncomfortable with a man touching them in the way he did. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting campaign. And I'm wondering if Las Vegas already has, and I may have to check on this today. I'm wondering if the odds makers in Las Vegas already have, they already have betting up on how long it'll take him to blow himself out of the water. Because I see it coming. I just see it coming. It's just a matter of time. But he's saying that world leaders, he's getting phone calls from around the world. Please, please run for president. Please save the world and your country from Donald Trump. Oh my God, what a bald-faced liar. And that is big political lie number one from Joe Biden. We may hit the top 10 by the end of today.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Sparky the Fire Dog here. Protect your family from fire. Make sure your home has smoke alarms in every bedroom, outside your sleeping areas, and on every level of your home, even your basement. For games and activities, go to sparky.org.
We want to keep you, your family, and your community safer from fire. This message brought to you by the National Fire Protection Association and your local fire department. Visit sparky.org.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Hi. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE. That's H-O-P-E. Or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I'd build secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome.
I'm sorry. Oh, the computer outsmarted me today. That's awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It's the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Mark Gongleton here with you. Oh, man. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and I hope you are signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. I try to make it as simple as possible. You can subscribe today by going to my website, to markgongleton.com, and looking in the right-hand column, there is a little form there that just asks for your first name, your last name, and your email address, and then it automatically sends you a confirmation email, which you have to respond to, and that's just to make sure that, yeah, this was you, it was not somebody doing this for you, it responds to your email address, and you get to tell me whether you really do want the newsletter. Get signed up today, and what you'll get is my show notes. I promise you, I will not get to everything today, and there's some juicy stuff in the bonus section today. So make sure you get signed up before the end of the show. And we'll, if you're listening live on Facebook Live, then get signed up before the end of the show. And if you're listening on the podcast, then get in your time machine and come back and sign up, okay? Because I want to make sure you get today's notes, because there's some great stuff. There just is some great stuff. The articles I'm referring to about Joe Biden and the like, just great stuff. Plus, Bill de Blasio and his insane Green New Deal for New York is in the bonus section. John Stossel has an article about the Green New Deal, and one thing nobody ever wants to talk about when it happens, you know, when they're talking about that. About Holly, there's an article about Hollywood Democrat donors. They're swooning over Pete Buttigieg. LA is excited, and there's an article about that there as well. And I really do want to talk about him someday in the near future, but yet we haven't had the opportunity to do so. But get signed up today. Go to markgongleton.com and get on the list. Be a part of the family. Now, you're familiar with John McCain and his history. He's passed away, no longer with us, but his wife Cindy is still around. His daughter Megan is still around. She's on The View with the View Shrews every day. And you know what John McCain did to basically poke a thumb in the eye of the presidency of Donald Trump. He did everything he could to keep our president from succeeding at what he wanted to do. And now that legacy is being moved forward by Cindy and Meghan McCain. They plan to defy the Republican Party line and support former Vice President Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election. This is according to a report coming from the Washington Examiner. The McCains have made no secret of their disdain for President Donald Trump, who famously criticized John McCain even after the GOP senator's death last year. Sources told the Examiner that the McCains will offer their public support in the hope of removing Trump from office in 2020. This is according to a former McCain campaign official. The two women remain Republicans but are set on backing Biden against Trump. So, these two women claim to remain Republicans, but they're going to back an old school Democrat against the President of the United States. They're going to back a man who was part of the administration which imposed Obamacare on this nation, which tripled, quadrupled, quintupled your medical costs while promising that you would be getting money back every year, that you would save $2,500 a year if you voted for, if you stood behind his plan. He swore that you would be able to keep your own doctor and keep your own insurance plan. He swore to you that these things were true, and they were not. Joe Biden was part of that. And the McCains, oh, and that's just one thing. That's just one example. And now Cindy and Meghan McCain are going to stand behind the candidate who was part of that administration. The official told the Examiner it's undeniable that Joe Biden and the McCain family have a very close personal relationship. It's about what's good for him, speaking of Biden. They talk regularly and they've been supportive of his run, another source says. The question is going to be timing and coordinating with the Biden campaign. There are a lot of moving parts there, and Biden's campaign is not necessarily organized. I would expect a formal family endorsement because some of McCain's family is still in the military, but I do expect Cindy. I wouldn't expect a formal family endorsement, but I do expect Cindy to speak out at some point. The Examiner spoke to a source from the Biden campaign who confirmed that the former Delaware senator has been in talks with the McCain family and had specifically discussed their support for his 2020 run. A former McCain aide says, I'm just not sure how much that helps in a primary where the party is constantly moving towards the left. If you're a two-term former vice president and basically tied with Bernie Sanders, that's not a good sign. During a March episode of The View, where she serves as a co-host, Meghan McCain responded to Trump's criticism of her father by saying the president lived a pathetic life. She said, no one will ever love you the way they loved my father. I wish I'd been given more Saturdays with him. Maybe spend yours with your family instead of on Twitter obsessing over mine. Well, I think we know from interviews with Donald Trump's children who are helping, working with his campaign, with his administration, that they love their dad. They cherish their dad. They appreciate what he has done for them and what he's taught them. So Meghan and Cindy, they're angry. And they're going to endorse a man who was a part of a presidential administration that sought to destroy America's, well, the finest medical system in the world. Regardless of what delusional leftists may tell you, here in the United States of America, even our worst medical care is better than the medical care in Great Britain. Here in the United States of America, we see people crossing our border from Canada to have their medical care handled in the United States, because they know they can get treatment here. But in some cases, they could die before they get treatment in Canada under that wonderful social healthcare system they have there. People are coming from Great Britain. Most recently, wasn't it Mick Jagger? Yeah, came to New York for surgery instead of going into that fine medical system, the one that they hold up to us in the UK. And people who can afford to in other countries, which don't have the economy that we have in the United States and the success for people at every level that we have here in the United States, people in other countries besides those two come here when it really matters. Why? Because they know back home they'll have to get in line and wait forever. And when they finally do get their care, they may not survive. But Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden and the rest of their cohorts made sure that they passed legislation which would begin destroying the healthcare system in America so the government could take over and rescue it and be heroes. Joe Biden is part of that. Remember, he was there, part of the process. They may have been hiding him because he was a gaffe monster. They may have been keeping him from embarrassing them in public, but he was there. And he was part of the process. They themselves say he was key in handling negotiations in Congress, that he was there to guide things as they developed. Joe Biden was part of it. Joe Biden is part of the reason your cost for medical care, for medicine, for seeing your doctor, for everything about your medical care is now much higher than it was 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Joe Biden was part and responsible. And yet the McCains, because they're bitter and angry, are going to support someone who will continue that damage and inflict more on this country. So this is nothing more than bitterness and anger. Nothing more. It's not rational. It's not reasonable. It's not logical. It makes no sense. It's just two angry women lashing out. That's all it is. And bless their hearts. I'm sorry they're upset. I'm sorry they got their feelings hurt. But endorsing the Democrats is insane. I don't care who the Democrat candidate is. It's nuts. So, remember that. When you see these ladies making their statements, when they get up and stand with Joe Biden at some campaign event, remember, they're standing with a man who is in part responsible for costing you thousands of dollars more every year for the health coverage and care for your family. And the man they're campaigning against is trying to correct that problem and put more money back in your family's pockets. Just remember that. There's still more to come right after the break as the Daily Perspective continues. This is the Daily Perspective. Hi there. And welcome to the final segment for this Thursday. We've been talking about actually nothing but Joe Biden for the entire thing because Uncle Joe, creepy Uncle Joe, decided to step into the ring. He threw his hat into the ring this morning, and he is now officially a candidate for the office of President of the United States. And I think it's important for us before we close out today to remember some of Uncle Joe's finest moments. Thank goodness the Guardian.com and Time Magazine and some other places actually cataloged Joe Biden's wonderfulness for what it was. I'd like to share with you a brief history of Joe Biden's biggest blunders. After months of speculation and hinting, Joe Biden has officially announced his candidacy for the Democratic nomination for the presidency in the 2020 U.S. election. Biden, the 76-year-old former vice president and senator from Delaware, enters a crowded field of competitors, but polls in recent weeks have consistently shown him leading the pack, perhaps because of his experience and lengthy record in office. No, he's just got the look and the name recognition. That's it. But unlike some of his much younger components, it's his decades in the public eye, and in particular, his well-documented history of confusing or downright embarrassing gaffes and misstatements that may end up working against him. He even made a gaffe about his intentions to run for the White House. Just last month, he seemed to accidentally let it slip that he was running, saying at a dinner for the Delaware Democratic Party that he has the most progressive record of anybody running. Those are his words. After cheers from the crowd, Biden seemed to recognize the mistake and jokingly gave the sign of the cross, saying he didn't mean it. Well, here are some other memorable moments. Biden's awkward behavior over the years is not limited to what he has said, but also how he acts. Several women have recently come forward to say he has made inappropriate physical contact with them, leaving them feel uncomfortable. Infamously, in 2015, while Ashton Carter was being sworn in as Secretary of Defense, Biden put his hands on his wife Stephanie's shoulders, rubbing them and appearing to whisper in her ear. "Joe Biden, we need to talk about the way you touch women," Gawker wrote at the time, collecting a series of photo ops in which Biden appears to behave in an overly familiar way with young women, young and old alike. "America shouldn't tolerate Joe Biden being Biden," Time remarked. Stephanie Carter wrote a blog post published on Medium on March 31st defending Biden, saying it had merely been a moment between close friends. In 2010, at a St. Patrick's Day reception for Brian Cowan, Biden got confused over which of the then Irish Prime Minister's parents had passed away. Quote, "His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul," he said before catching his mistake. "Although she's, wait, your mom's still alive. It was your dad that passed. God bless her soul. I got to get this straight." He said that to a big laugh from the crowd, showing that even when he screws up, his supporters often find it charming. At a campaign stop in Missouri in 2008, then vice president nominee Biden exhorted state janitor Chuck Graham to stand up for a round of applause. Graham is a paraplegic after a car accident he had at age 16. "Stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about? I tell you what, you're making everybody else stand up, though, pal. You can tell I'm new. Wow. In the midst of his campaign for the Democratic nomination for president in 2007, Biden took broad swipes at his opponents, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Barack Obama, including one that was downright puzzling about the future president. Quote, "I mean, you got the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man." The Economist asked, "Joe Biden, moron racist or poorly transcribed?" Biden swiftly attempted to clarify his intent, saying he should have used the word fresh instead of clean in an interview with Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. He says, "What I meant was he's got new ideas. He's a new guy on the block." While Stewart looked on skeptically. "It's not working, right?" he joked to laughter from the audience. In 2008, the 2008 election wasn't the first time Biden ran for president. After it was revealed that Biden had taken to adopting language used by then British Labour Party politician Neil Kinnock, not only turns of phrases, but taking parts of his own biography as his own on stump speeches, Biden dropped out of the 98 race. Clips of the speeches were put together by challengers, damaging Biden's reputation. Biden initially called it a tempest in a teapot at the time, but after further accusations of plagiarism were reported, stretching back to his days in law school, he stepped down. So that's important for you to remember, that Biden has a history of plagiarism, of taking other people's words and work as his own. As troubling as some of his misstatements might be, and as serious as some of the concerns people have about Biden's retrograde positioning among a new crop of progressive candidates, a sizable percentage of the U.S. electorate finds the often goofy Biden charming. It didn't hurt matters that Obama often reacted to them with bemusement. Quote, "I don't remember exactly what Joe was referring to," not surprisingly, he quipped after a typically confusing statement from Biden about the passage of a stimulus package in 2010. Remember, he said, "This is a big effing deal." And they were standing close enough to microphones at the podium that everybody heard what he said. In 2015, presidential candidate Donald Trump spoke about the prospect of squaring off against Biden if he ended up running. He says, "I think I'd match up great. I'm a job producer. I've had a great record. I haven't been involved in plagiarism." Ooh. We may yet get to see how that works on the 2020 campaign. Trump is not exactly gaffe-free, to put it mildly. And that's true. Trump said again last month, I hope it's Biden. When I say something that you might think is a gaffe, it's on purpose. It's not a gaffe. When Biden says something dumb, it's because he's dumb. Well, Biden admitted in December when he was asked about potential liabilities of his campaign, he said, I'm a gaffe machine, but my God, what a wonderful thing compared to a guy who can't tell the truth. Really? This is coming from a guy who we've already established appropriated the works of others as his own, and who is a lifelong member of the political elite, a man who lies as easily as he breathes. And I say that because he is a lifelong professional politician. This is what this man does. He is a Democrat. He is a politician. He lies. He will tell you what he believes you need to hear at the moment. For example, we started off with his announcement video. He talked about Charlottesville. He talked about Jefferson. One of the things he said was that Jefferson didn't live up to the values of the Constitution. That's a Democrat lie. Read Dinesh D'Souza's book, The Jefferson Lies. I encourage you, buy it. Spend the money on it. Get the book, The Jefferson Lies. Read it. You'll understand why people like Joe Biden are lying about Jefferson. They have to. Because Jefferson's life, his values, and his contribution to our nation condemn the Democrats. So they have to condemn Jefferson. That's just one. He talks about Charlottesville. He misrepresents what President Trump said about what happened. He refers to Antifa as courageous people standing up against Nazis. He misrepresents what happened. He quotes the Constitution and then condemns one of its authors. This is a man who is a politician. He is one of the serpents in the snake pit, which is Washington, D.C. So please remember that as creepy and as goofy as Joe Biden is, he is part of the problem and has been for a long time. He is not part of a solution. The solution is to step away from what has created and caused all the problems over the years. And we can only do that by moving away from professional politicians and getting back to people who really do represent the interests of this country and the people who live in it. That's not professional politicians. They believe they're intellectually and morally superior to you, and they are entitled to run things for you, not represent you. Joe Biden doesn't represent you or anyone else in this country. He represents a political ideology and a party. He is a liar. He's an appropriator of other people's works and ideas. And he is the last thing this nation needs. And that is the last word for today. God bless you. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.